بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 15th of May in the year 2022 and Alhamdulillah we moved on to the 25th session the 21st session that we're going through the commentary of the blessed Surah Taha and I have reached verse 116 so inshallah today going through up to and including verse 120 so verse 116 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم when we said to the angels عليه الصلاة والسلام prostrate yourselves to Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام they prostrated themselves But not Iblis. He refused. So, there's a report in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, Verily man was named Insan only because he was given a covenant, but he forgot, i.e. Nasiyan. So, like I mentioned in the previous session, In the previous verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَنَسِي He forgot, I Adam, and he ate from the tree. But the word in Arabic for man is insan. And Ibn Abbas said, he was called this because he forgot. And the word for forgetfulness is nasyan. Meaning it's part of your nature to forget. So in this verse, it then mentions that the angels were famously told to prostrate to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, but shaitan did not. So, It mentions with regards to the accursed. So this is in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, Before he undertook the path of sin, Iblis was with the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was called Azazil. He was amongst the residents of the earth and was one of the most positive or active worshippers and knowledgeable amongst the angels. This fight caused him to be arrogant. Iblis was from a genus called jinn. So here a few important things are mentioned from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu about shaitan. That the reason he became arrogant was because of the knowledge. He was amongst the angels. He was never an angel. He was a jinn taken from the earth. And that is what caused him to be arrogant. So this is again very important for us to understand, knowledge should not make you arrogant. That's shaitan. And yeah, people, they boast about their knowledge now. You know, they're openly showing that there's a problem with their heart. So Ibn Abbas said, this is what caused him to be arrogant, i.e. the accursed. And also, why did he refuse to bow down or prostrate to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? So, in a nutshell, There's another passage. So in Surah 18, verse 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there, Illa Iblis, kana min al-jinn, fafasaka an amri rabbi. Except Iblis, he was one of the jinns. Fafasaka, the command of his Lord. So Hasan al-Basri, he explained, rahmatullah, this is in Abu al-Shaykh, Ibn Jarir al-Bidayah 1-79 and it's a Sahih report. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, Iblis was not one of the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, not even for a second. He was the origin of jinn, just as Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the origin of mankind. So here Hasan al-Basri exposed the error of the people of the book. They considered him to be a fallen angel. But Hasan al-Basri goes, not even for a second was he an angel. He was a jinn. And the Quran explicitly says, Kana min al jinn, meaning is qati. The Quran is mentioning that. But he was the origin of the jinn. And this is why Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, he said in Majmu Fatawa 4-346, the shaitan was one of the angels with regards to his appearance, but not with regards to his origin or attitude. So he was amongst them and he looked like he was, you know, honorable like them. Because that's as far as you go. He goes, but with regards to his origin, he wasn't. He was a jinn. Or his attitude. Why? Because the angels are not arrogant. So here in Surah Taha, Allah Ta'ala doesn't go into detail. He goes, he just refused, Iblis. And Iblis is not his name. His name is Azazil. Iblis means the one full of despair. In Arabic, the word for full of despair is Ablasa, Iblis. So he's been given titles. Shaitan means the one who's cursed, the one who's thrown far away from the mercy of Allah. And notice his name has been lost as well to posterity. Verse 117. Then we said, O Adam, alayhi salatu wa salam, verily this is an enemy to you and your wife. So let him not get you both out of the garden so that you are landed in Tashqa. So a few things mentioned. So Imadaf al-Quran, volume 6, page 161. Mufti Shafi, rahmatullah alayh, he explains. Tashqa, so if you look at the verse, the word Allah Ta'ala uses for Tashqa. The word tashqa is derived from shakawa, which has two meanings. The first, distress or trouble in the hereafter. And second, distress in this world. So tashqa has got two meanings. It means distress or trouble in the next life or distress in this world. Then Mufti Shafi said, here the word has obviously been used in the second meaning. Because it cannot be used in the first meaning even for pious Muslims, let alone the prophets. So obviously, if you say, well, when Allah Ta'ala says, Fatashqa, he's talking to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and his wife. So will they have distress in the next life? No. So Mufti Shafi goes, it has to be distress in this world, therefore being referred to. Then he explained, he will have to earn his living by the labor of his hands. This is the distress. As mentioned by Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir. Then he said, in the present context, the second meaning of the word appears more appropriate because in the following verses, verse 118 and 19, reference has been made to the four basic needs of human life, food, water, clothes and shelter, which are freely available in paradise without any effort or toil. This verse contains a hint to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam that if he ever was expelled from paradise, he will forfeit all these gifts. So the clue also is the next few verses. Fatashqa, meaning you will be in misery, meaning you're going to have to work to earn a living. And the next verses prove it, because Allah Ta'ala then says in verse 118 and 19, therein you will not go hungry, nor you will be naked, nor you will suffer from thirst, nor the sun's heat. So Allah Ta'ala is hinting that all of that will go once you come onto the earth. Then Mufti Shafi said, it is worth noting that here only those gifts have been mentioned which are basic to human life, to the exclusion of the other major rewards and comforts which are available in paradise. And the intention is to warn Adam alayhi salatu wasalam that one wrong step would deprive him of all these benefits, which he would have to earn for himself with physical labor and by the sweat of his brow. Most commentators have adopted this very meaning of tashqa. Then he said, finally, when all the stages were completed, Sayyidina Adam sat down to eat, i.e., and this is what caused his expulsion. Then Mufti Shafi said, on page 162, early in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and he included Hawa. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Aduwul laka wa li zawjika fala yukhrijannakuma min. Shaitan is your enemy and the enemy of your wife. So you both must be careful to let him not expel you from paradise. But towards the end of the verse, fatashqa, lest you get into trouble is used, is in the singular, not in the dual. So in English, khuda hafiz, right? You've lost everything. So at the beginning, Allah Ta'ala is addressing both. But at the end, he goes into the singular. Then Mufti Shafi said, from this, Imam Qurtubi deduced the rule that a husband is responsible for meeting the essential needs of his wife And any physical labor which is necessary to meet that responsibility must be provided by the husband alone. The use of the word tashqa in second person singular is a pointer to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that if they were sent down to the earth, the onus of earning a livelihood for himself and Hawa will fall on him alone. So this is the beauty of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala, you know, people say, where does it say that the man is the breadwinner? And people go straight to hadith. He goes, Quran says it. And then you have to go through it if he's got time. Then Mufti Shafi said, Imam Qurtubi states, this verse clearly indicates there are four things only, which a husband must provide for his wife: food, water, clothes, and shelter. Anything else which he gives her will be regarded as a gift. It is not binding upon him. From this, it has also been deduced that wherever Islamic law makes a person responsible for the maintenance of somebody else, it is obligatory on him to provide only these four things. So when people say, where did you get these four things from? Food, water, clothes, and shelter. Where is it meant? Quran, brother. You left the Quran. That's why you're asking these questions. So that's the right of your wife. You have to work. She doesn't need to work a single day. And what's strange is, they can't wait. They can't wait to work. You know, think about that. You know, you don't need to work at all. Allah has given you that honor. You know, subhanAllah. So this is again one thing mentioned here by Mufti Shafi. Also, another thing which is mentioned. So what did he eat? So in Imam Qurtubi, in his tafsir, Ibn Jadir in his tafsir, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, the first food Adam alayhi salatu wasalam ate on the earth was when Jibreel came to him alayhi salatu wasalam with 7 grains of wheat. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam asked, what are they? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam replied, they are from the tree which you were forbidden to eat from, but you ate from it. So stop in the report. So this tells you what he ate. What was the tree? It was wheat. Right? He goes, what's these grains you're giving me? He goes, they are from the tree which you were forbidden to eat from, but you ate from it. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam then said, what should I do with them now? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, sow them on the earth. Then Adam alayhi salatu wasalam sowed them as he was told. Each of those grains weighed more than 100,000 grains, meaning there were so many blessings. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam harvested them after they started to grow. He then grounded them, kneaded them, finally baked bread and ate from them. All this had taken a lot of effort and hard work. This is what the Quran referred to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fatashqa. Do not let him put you in misery. So details are added. And now notice sweat, blood, sweat and tears, the famous saying, was taking place. And Adam started to sweat. And then another report mentions, he then rebuked his wife. He goes, now we have to suffer. So another question posed is, where was he taken out of? Where did they come down from? So Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah in Majmu Fatawa 4-347, he mentions, the paradise was where he was taken out of. Whoever says it was a paradise in the land of India or any other place on the earth, he is an apostate, he is a heretic. For this is the claim of the philosophers and the Mutazila. The Quran and Sunnah repudiate this view. So Ibn Taymiyyah, he didn't hold back. If anybody starts saying he moved from one part of the world to another, he said, you're a murtad. He goes, this, you've been affected by philosophy, Mutazila. He goes, you're going against the Quran and Sunnah. So he's very harsh. And also he mentions, and he quotes another passage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 34 to 36, the relevant part. Then Shaitan made them slip therefrom and got them out from that in which they were. We said, get you down, all with enmity between yourselves. On earth will be a dwelling place for you and an enjoyment for the time. So what does this clearly say in the Quran? Get down, you've slipped, all of you. Go onto the earth a dwelling place for a time. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah said in Majmu Fatawa 4-347, in these verses, Allah the Almighty explains that He commanded them to get down to the earth. There would be enmity between them. And thus they were not initially on the earth. It was later that they were commanded to get down there. For if they had been on the earth, and they moved from a land to another land, like the movement of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, from one land to another, their dwelling and their enjoyment for a time would have been in the earth before and after getting down. So I guess it doesn't even make sense, because the Quran says, go down onto the earth. So why are they going down, right? You know, you don't go down on the earth. And he goes, Allah Ta'ala is not clarifying, because why would He confuse you in this? So this is another thing which Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, he mentions. And the other thing is, there's a report. This is in Sahih Muslim. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He will gather the people. The believers would stand till paradise is brought near. They would come to Adam and they would say, وَهَلْ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا خَتِيئَةُ أَبِيكُمْ O our Father, upon us, open up for us paradise. He would say, what turned you out from paradise except the slip of your father? So how clear is that? This hadith indicates that the paradise in which Adam lived, alayhi salatu wasalam, was the eternal paradise, which mankind would seek its opening on the day of judgment, and which they would seek to enter. So what did he say? Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes, وَهَلْ أَخْرَجُكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا خَتِيئَةُ أَبِيكُمْ What turned you out from paradise except the slip of your father? Because you're asking me to open the gate. I was the one who took you out. That's why he was in India. Right? So the response is, he goes, that Ibn Taymiyyah said, you're going against the revelation. So is there a view that it wasn't paradise? It was another place. There is a view. And the strongest proof they have is that Adam slept. And then the rib was taken out and Hawa was created. There's no sleeping in paradise. So some ulama said that it was another place. Maybe it was another place of Jannah, specifically for Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But there's no sleeping in paradise. So there is a view. But the vast majority are in line with what Ibn Taymiyyah said, rahmatullah alayh. So this is also important here. Why? Because some people, they're adamant that he just moved from one part of the earth to the other. Because he was in India and he moved somewhere else. He goes, so where is he going down? Because he came down from a mountain. Why doesn't he go back up it then? Right? You know, if you come down and you can get back up, why not go back up? He goes, no, but, you know, you're going too much into it now. So the next verse. Verse 118. There is therein enough provision for you not to go hungry nor to go naked. Verse 119. Nor to suffer from thirst nor from the sun's heat. So there's a report here. So it mentions by Mufti Muhammad Ashiq Ilahi Muhajjir Madani and Warul Bayan, volume 6, page 164 of the English translation. He states, despite the multitude bounties of paradise, Allah the Almighty reminded Adam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam of only the four which I've mentioned. Certain scholars have deduced from this that the basic necessities of human are food, drink, clothing, shelter. The rest are addition. Then he quotes the hadith. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. Uthman radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam has a right only to three things: a house, a shelter to live in, sufficient clothing to conceal their odor, and a piece of bread and water. Look how beautiful. The hadith of the Prophet is only explaining the Quran. Because these are the rights of the children of Adam. Then he quotes another hadith. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said, the person who awakes in a safe condition, in good health, with enough food for the day, it is as if he has been given the entire world. So this is a very interesting report. because the Prophet was highlighting, this is all you need from the world. That's your basic needs. You wake up safe, i.e. shelter, whatever, good health, and you got food for the day, because you've been given the entire world. What was he hinting at? What else do you want? If somebody gives you the entire world, he says, and what else? He goes, what else do you want? But I've given you the entire world. And yeah, we've got all these other things. I'm different, me. Are you the son of Adam? Yeah, then you're not different. Verse 120. But Shaitan whispered evil to him. He said, O Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, shall I lead you to the tree of eternity and to a kingdom that never decays? So first of all, what is this Shajarat al-Khuld, the tree of eternity? Does it exist? In Abu Dawud al-Tayalisi, Imam Ahmad's Musnad ibn Kathir's tafsir, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a tree in paradise under which the rider could travel more than 100 years without him reaching the end. It is Shajarat al-Khuld. So the tree did exist. Shaitan wasn't lying there. The Prophet ﷺ said that Shajarat al-Khuld is that tree in which a rider can't get out after 100 years. So he goes, shall I lead you to the tree of eternity? But what was his gain? So in the work, Man's Protection Against Jinn and Shaitan by Shaykh Wahid Abdus Salam, he mentions on page 324, one of the ways of decorating sins and wrongdoings is by giving them nice and likable names in order to disguise its filth and ugliness. Shaitan called the tree which led to Adam's fall the tree of eternity. Shaitan whispered to him, shall I lead you to the tree of eternity, to a kingdom that will never waste away? Hafiz ibn Qayyim added, rahmatullah alayh, and this is in his Ighathal al-Lahfan, Shaitan taught his followers how to label evil with nice names. And he gives seven. Alcohol was called the mother of pleasure. Would you like the mother of pleasure? They call usually interest. It was interesting. In English, same word. Interest. It's interest. What's that mean, brother? Interest. You get, you know, profit. No, it's not. They call the decorative vanity of a woman freedom. The woman is now free. She's nanga. How is she free? They call the free mixing of men and women civilization progression. They even say that now. Progress. LGBT, BBC, ITV. Progress. They call the corrupt singers artists. They call the promiscuous actress a star. Why is he or she called a star? Because they're actors. Well, star is a beautiful thing. So why are they called that? Because they're beautiful. Are they? He did a film about zina. No, but he was acting. He's a star. MashaAllah. They call all of this corruption, disobedience, promiscuity, art, in order to attract people to their devious and degenerate lifestyles. So think about it. If you saw a naked woman, people will condemn it. But in a museum, they look at it. It's art. It's a naked woman. No, but it's subjective. So what did Ibn Qayyim say? Shaitan. This is what he does. Something's haram, he'll make it sound nice. He goes, no, this is... Astaghfirullah. So he did it with our grandparents. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The other thing here now is a few very important things. So the first thing is, how would this, without sign, you've got to be very careful talking about the prophets. How was he susceptible to this? So this is answered beautifully. The first way to explain it is that the two young humans, they were innocent. They did not know anything about lying or deception. Have they experienced anybody lying? No, never. Have they experienced anybody deceiving? No. They could not imagine that one could possibly take a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lie. Shaitan used this innocence to his advantage. He lied to them, supporting his lies with an oath. When a believer hears an oath by Allah, his belief makes him believe. Then he quotes a hadith. So this narration is in Ibn Majah, and it's sahih. It was mentioned by Shaykh Al-Bani in Irwa Al-Ghalil number 2698. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not swear by your fathers. Man khalafa billahi falyasdiq. Let him who swears by Allah be truthful. وَمَنْ خُلِفَ وَمَنْ حُلِفَ لَهُ بِاللَّهِ فَلْيَرْدْ. And let him who is sworn to by Allah accept. Because whoever does not accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one to swear with is not an ally of Allah. Bole bale Musliman. Because Adam, he didn't know what he was doing. Astaghfirullah. And then you say, brother, why are you talking like that about your father and a prophet? This is what is Quran. Then you say, right, what did the prophet say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't got a clue, not studying nothing. YouTube, ulama, right? So what did the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Do not swear by your fathers. So everybody knows that. Then what did he say? Man halafa billahi fal yasdiq. Let him who swears by Allah be truthful. So never take his name and be truthful. Then what did the Prophet ﷺ say? وَمَنْ حُلِفَ لَهُ بِاللَّهِ فَلْيَرْدْ. Let him who is sworn to by Allah accept. So if somebody says to you, I swear by Allah, I'm telling you that this is... The Prophet goes, you have to accept it. If you don't, the Prophet goes, you're not of Allah. Which one of us acts upon that? Somebody goes, I swear by Allah, you're lying, brother. Now who's dishonoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You. Because he's taking Allah ta'ala's name. Is he a Muslim? Yeah. That's it. But he's lying. How do you know he's lying? He's taking Allah ta'ala's name. You've gone against the command of the Prophet. So what did Shaitan say to Adam? By Allah. To a prophet of God, do you believe, you fruitcake, for a second? He's not going to believe. He has to. So did he forget? Did he go against the command? Again, horrific. That's why it's kufr. When you think ill of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, to prove this further, in Sahih Bukhari, number 3444, Sahih Muslim, number 2368, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Isa, the son of Maryam, alayhi salatu wasalam, he saw a man stealing. And he said to him, Asaraqt, did you just steal? He replied, Qalla wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. By Allah, no. I didn't steal. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Amantu billahi wa kadhabt aynayi. I believe in Allah and I deny my eyes. There you go, brother. Somebody stole in front of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Did you just steal? And what did the man say? By Allah, I didn't. Now, how did he respond? You think I'm a fool? I just saw you. Did he say that? Because I deny my eyes. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how a prophet responds. Right? And the problem is, you've made Adam like you. Astaghfirullah. Commenting on this hadith, Hafiz ibn Qayyim, he said in Ighathat Lafan, page 220, in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's blessed heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so majestic, so great, that no one would swear by him untruthfully. When the thief swore by him, he was between two choices. Either to accuse the thief or accuse his own eyes. He opted to accuse his eyes because the thief made an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is similar to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, who thinking shaitan was truthful, for swearing to him by Allah, said to himself, never would I accept anyone to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala untruthfully. You know what a beautiful explanation. Now you go to the guy who opened. Yeah, you know, he got affected, didn't he? Got affected by what? Then he calls a report. Qatada rahmatullah alayhi, this is in Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Shaitan said, this is how he tried to get them as well. I was created before you, and therefore I know better than you. So follow me for guidance. He's mixing truth with falsehood. Because I'm older than you. Then he said, I know better than you. Now he's lying. Follow my guidance. Shaitan suggests him to Adam. Again, you know, you can go on and on, but let's mention a few of the other bullet points. So he mentions here, in this verse, verse 120, Shaitan whispered his deception to Adam alone, alayhi salatu wasalam. But in another verse, Surah 7, verse 20, he whispered to both Adam and Hawa. The word is lahuma. So again, people say contradiction. Your Quran contradicts. So how does it contradict? It goes in verse 120, Shaitan whispered to Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. In Surah 7, verse 20, he whispered to both Adam and Hawa. Then the Shaykh mentioned some of the earlier verses indicate that Adam was the one who disobeyed. Surah 20 verse 115, Surah 20 verse 121. But other verses, Surah 2 verse 36, Surah 7 verse 22, Surah 20 verse 121, indicate that the disobedience was done by both Adam and Hawa, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he said, there are narrations in the Sunnah indicating that Shaitan first tempted Hawa, radiallahu anha, and she convinced Adam to eat from the tree. So where's the proof? In Sahih Bukhari, number 3330, Sahih Muslim, number 1470, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْلَا حَوَّاءُ لَمْ تَخُنْ أُثْنَى زَوْجَهَا الدَّحْرِ. Had it not been for Hawa, radiyallahu anha, no female would ever have betrayed her husband. Had it not been for Hawa, radiyallahu anha, no female would have betrayed her husband. So what's that in reference to? This narration implies that Hawa radiyallahu anha was the first woman to betray her husband, starting a trait with the permission of Allah persisted in many of her children, the females. Hawa's betrayal was that she persuaded Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to submit to Shaitan's seduction. Shaitan's temptation must have first appealed to her. She used the womanly wiles to convince Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to eat from the prohibited tree. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, he said in Fath al-Bari, number 3330, Hawa's betrayal, radiyallahu anha, means she accepted Shaitan's adornment of the sin. She beautified it in turn to Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. Since she is the mother of all of Adam's daughters, they would be similar to her by virtue of birth, so that hardly a woman would be clear of betraying her husband by action or word. By no means did Hawa's betrayal mean committing an immodest act, a'udhu billah. Rather, it meant that when her desire leaned towards eating from the tree, she adorned that to Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. As for the women after her, each one's betrayal is according to her situation. So, that is true. The Prophet said that Hawa also, you know, beautified this to Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is a trait, the scholars say, which has been given, handed down to the daughters of the children of Adam. Meaning that their physical strength is counterbalanced with that strength. Meaning they can cause more harm with their guile. And that's why the Quran mentions in Surah Yusuf, the guile of women is immense. Meaning that they look innocent and they can say things, but they're actually deceiving you. And this is a trait, meaning that it's something within them. And obviously, you know, we don't go too much into it, we accept it. Then the proof again that his wife was somewhat responsible. At the time of Adam's passing, alayhi salatu wasalam, Adam mentioned that Shaitan was able to seduce him through his wife. Where's the proof? In Hakim, Abu Dawud At-Tayalisi and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Ad-Da'ifa, number 2872. Ubay ibn Qa'ab radiyallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the angels of death, alayhi salatu wasalam, came until they reached Adam. When Hawa saw them, she knew who they were. Falathat bi Adam. She protectively moved close to Adam. He told her, إِلَيْكِ أَنِّي فَمِنْ قِبَلِقِي أُتِيتْ خَلِّي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ مَلَائِكَةَ رَبِّي. Move away from me, because it was through you that I was deceived. Do not come between me and my Lord's angels. So this shows that he's a prophet. Why? How many years had passed? 1,000 years. Has he forgot? Somebody goes, have you been upset with your wife if you married, right? Goes, yeah, many times. So what happened to it? It's water under the bridge. Water, was it mashallah, right? Adam never forgot. 1,000 years later, why? Because their anger is for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So when he's dying, Hawa, out of love, she saw the angels, she tried to protect Adam. And what did he say? Move away from me. Because it's because of you, I was deceived. Do not come between me and my Lord's angels. There's the proof again. Hawa, radiallahu anhu. Thus, the Quran, disobedience is sometimes attributed to Adam alone, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was the leader of the two, whilst Hawa was his follower. There's the beauty of the Quran. So when the Quran says both of them, in some places, and another place only Adam, there's no contradiction. The Sunnah is explaining what's happening. And one last point here. So, beautified speech. Look how dangerous it is. It affected even a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And people think this is, you know, this is a good thing. Is it? Adorned speech is likened to witchcraft. In Sahih Bukhari, number 5146, 5767, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, inna min al bayani la sihra. Verily amongst speech are those similar to witchcraft. This was one of Iblis's weapons against Adam and Hawa, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said to them, Shajarat al-Khuld, a kingdom that never decays. And he advised them in Surah 7 verse 21, I am to you a sincere advisor. We should be wary of beautified speech. When we like a statement, we should scrutinize it under the light of the Quran and Sunnah. If it agrees with it, we accept. Otherwise, we reject. So this is another very important point. Some people are very eloquent, and they can make you believe anything. But if you listen and deconstruct their words, no revelation. So the scholars say, so what's that then? Why were you impressed by that? Because it's witchcraft. Look how, you know, people say witchcraft, and they're so scared, they wear tawbees, they do protection, and yeah, when it comes to speech, don't give a monkey's bear. Oh, he's a race speaker. She's a race speaker. What's she saying? You listen to them, you didn't call nothing, brother. But he talks nice. That's why, here, another important lesson. Shaitan, he used that. You know, he was given this. He learned it from the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam. So note, is it easy to go through these passages without commentary? No chance, brother. You go through translation here, just translation. You're in danger of losing your iman. Look how careful you've got to tread. Allah has given you the narrative. He's leaving out so many things. Why? Because he wants you to go through the authorities. And when you get the clarification, you go, Subhanallah, if it wasn't for the scholars, we'd be in a rape mess. And it's true. That's why ulama warithatul anbiya, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So on the side of us, and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى فقلنا يا آدم إن هذا عدو لك ولزوجك فلا يخرجنكما من الجنة فتشقى إن لك ألا تجوء فيها ولا تعرى وأنك لا تظمأ فيها ولا تضحى فوسوس إليه الشيطان قال يا آدم هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for any errors which I made inadvertently. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah bihamdi, ashallah inaka illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka, billahi min ash-shaytan jib, subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa wasbil haqq, wa wasbil sabr, sadaqa Allahu al-azim.